Good morning again. Good morning. Wonderful. That was enthusiastic. We are starting another new series today, which is a tiny bit of a play off the last one, but was stirring in my heart to do this. Before we kind of dive into things, I just want to say, sometimes you say things as a leader that you wouldn't probably say otherwise, but I want to lead with transparency. I want to lead with character. I want to lead with integrity. So I'm going to tell you this, and I want you to take it in that context, okay? We were at the pastor's conference this last week, and it was just a phenomenal blessing. And so we always go out to eat on Sunday night with all the other pastors that are there and get to reconnect with them. So we were at Perkins, and we were just eating, and there was, I think, 18 or 20 of us walked in about 20 minutes before closing. They love us, right? And we, you know, we didn't want to do that. It's just the way it ended up being, and they close earlier now. They used to be open later, and so we just felt terrible. Our waitress was the only one there. And so we just felt terrible, and so we're like trying to get the pastors to be good, you know, like just stay focused and get stuff ordered or whatever. And waitress was super nice, just super kind, and just she said, "Can I bring just pitchers out, and you can pour your own water?" And I said, "Yeah, great." I said, "Let us know if there's any other way we can help." And she just stopped her in her tracks. She just turned around. She said, "What?" I said, "Well, if we can do anything else," she said. So she almost teared up. She said, I don't know if I've ever heard that before. I said, "Well, you know, we're a bunch of turkeys coming in late. You know, we know we feel so bad about it, but you know, our service just got over." So she was happy. And so I just felt the prompting of the Lord. I felt the nudge. And I thought, I'm going to give her a good tip. And so we were leaving and we paid. And so I went back in and I was going to, we had talked a couple other times, so it was very natural. I was going to kind of talk to her about Jesus, and Pastor Dave was already talking to her about Jesus, so he was already right in the middle of the conversation, and so I didn't step into that, but I just leaned in, and I gave her a large bill for me. It was the biggest tip that I'd ever given in my life. So I just wanted to share that with you as I'm teaching. So I just don't, for any other reason other than just being transparent and just knowing that, like, I'm learning too. I'm in this with you. And so I walked out, I was just beaming, and it was so incredible. I'm like, God, I just hope that as Dave's sharing the gospel with her, and people are loving on her, and you know, just everyone was just amazing, you know, just that went as part of that generosity, just showing her that, man, you're worth something, and God cares about you, and whatever. Anyways, just wanted to let you know that I'm jumping on board as well, right? Amen. That's my story. So let's see if we can frame something here this morning. Let's talk about my life. Not my life, but when you say it, it's your life, right? So our life. Sometimes life is a whirlwind, is it not? So sometimes life, I feel like, maybe you won't relate to this at all. Maybe this is a bad example, but I think this is kind of right. Sometimes our life is like this. It's like a game of Monopoly, right? And I feel like there's so much that we just feel like we don't have control over. And what you're doing in Monopoly, right? You're trying to, you're rolling the dice. You hope you get something good, you know, but you're playing with hopefully friends, you know. Sometimes you end up playing games. I was going to put a picture of Rummy Cube in there, because sometimes you play games with people that just are nefarious. They're just not so nice, you know, and they do things to win that maybe are just, I don't know, but you can't really control their behavior. And so you're hoping you roll a good number and you land on a good spot and things go well, but sometimes you're out of money, and there's so much that you can't control. You can't control what the other people are doing. And so you're just kind of always reacting to things, and you're hoping for the best or whatever. And I thought that was a good picture of kind of where I wanted to start at this morning. And so let me just run through a list of kind of how I feel like a lot of us would just live our lives. We start with reactions. Every day, you guys, has anyone ever felt bad about a reaction that you had to something? Yeah? Anyone ever snapped at it would never be a spouse, you know, or a child, but, you know, some mean guy on TV or something, right? right? You've had some kind of reaction. So I feel like that's probably one of the biggest ones. We spend our life not with a plan, but we spend it reacting to things. We're constantly, we react to the news, and we react to my spouse, and I react to my children. I react to, you know, I'm trying to work on something and the, you know, the hammer broke or whatever it is. Can't get things to work just right. Maybe that's just me, not you guys. You guys all have great reactions. But some of us, you know, people that aren't in this church don't always have the best reactions. But we're always, it seems like we're always playing defense. We're always catching up. We're always reacting. Okay, what, anyone ever said, oh, I'm in a weak moment. Okay, now what? Or what else, right? Or, oh, are you kidding, right? We have these reactions to life. Life is full of reactions. The next two kind of go together, but they're a little bit different. We have lots of reactions, and then we have habits and routines. So we're just trying to just peel the curtain back. What do our lives look like? What does your life look like on Monday? What does your life look like on Tuesday? How about your day on Thursday and Friday and Saturday? This is what we're going through. A lot of reactions, a lot of habits, routines. Oh, we always do this, or at this time of day, I always do that. Or sometimes habits are sometimes bad habits, sometimes they're good habits. But they're just, you don't spend a lot of time thinking about them. They just kind of happen, right? Habits and routines just kind of happen. They just kind of go through your day. I like routines. I like them a lot. If we're describing my life, what happens in my life and how I live my life, there's external demands. Anybody have a job or a boss? Anyone have a spouse? Anyone have family demands or whatever? There's external, like, anyone ever been super tired at night and then you've got to go pick up your kid from practice, or you've got to take another kid to another practice? Those are external. They're not bad necessarily, but what I'm going to do and how I'm going to behave often is dictated by these external things in my life. Or how about this one? Anyone who's ever been in a family before, which is all of us, expectations, right? There's expectations on us. And so we act and feel and move and whatever according to the expectations are. Well, I know they would want me to be there, or we would go, but you know, they would be disappointed if we did go, or we shouldn't do this, or we should do this. There's these external either demands from work or church or God, what we might feel like or whatever, or expectations. Here's a somber one. My life sometimes is about sin and bondages. Sometimes there's stuff that I haven't gotten free from yet. Sometimes we're just talking about, what does our life look like? What does a normal life look like? And a lot of these are going to be in almost all of our lives. Sin and bondages. We're stuck. We're a slave to something. The Bible says that you're a slave to whatever has mastered you. And maybe it's something from our past. Maybe it's something we got sucked into. And there's just bondages in our life that need to be broken. Or this one. No one's ever done this one before. Made decisions without thinking them through. Anyone ever made a decision and you're like, I wish I had like about 8 minutes to go backwards in time. Anyway, nobody? Anyone? Yes. Okay. I can see by the smiles on your face. We've all made bad decisions that were like, I wish I would have, before I said that, before I did that, before I reacted like that, before I made that purchase, right, at 1 a.m. on Amazon, don't go there, right? Infomercials, right? I think that's what you guys do, buy that kind of stuff. I make fun of them because they always have the As Seen on TV stickers on everything. I'm like, you guys need to go to bed earlier. Sorry. I couldn't pick on you for not coming in and sitting down, so I had to pick on you for infomercial purchases. No, I'm just teasing. So, there's more than this. But what I'm trying to say is, a lot of times, and anyone just got, you're like, okay, it's Friday, all right, right? Or you made it to Sunday, like, all right, I made it to church. And the last week was just kind of a blur. Taylor and I were just talking about it this morning, just like how time just keeps going. Like, we were leaving the driveway and Taylor said, another week. I'm like, another week, right? And he's like, another week. I'm like, oh gosh, yeah, I guess it's another Sunday. We're going to church. It's a whole nother week has gone by. We've gone to pastor's conference already. We had Wednesday night service. We had stuff on Thursday. You know, we had family night on Friday. Wow, you're right. It's another whole week is gone. And so we were talking about how time is just relentless and just, it just keeps moving along. And so a lot of our life can happen without us even really realizing it. That's what I'm trying to say. A lot of life is just, we're just stuck in some of these kind of things. And a lot of times we feel overwhelmed by that. We feel powerless in the middle of that. And that's really what I want to hit at. We feel like there's chaos sometimes. There's things that just are swirling around. And I feel like I don't have any control over any of this. I feel like I'm just constantly trying to catch up. And I'm constantly trying to, you know, keep my reactions under control. And my question is, what if? What if? What if you could look ahead? Okay, this is the message on the crystal ball. I'm just kidding. What if you could get a glimpse of what is ahead in your life? What life could look like a week from now, a month from now, a year from now? What if there was any way to get kind of a sense of what that's going to be like? What if you could see a glimpse of your future? What if you could affect what happens later by what's going on right now? So what we're going to talk about today and for maybe the next week or two, planting seeds and harvesting. You guys may know it as sowing and reaping if you're talking about the Bible. But I was just thinking, when is the last time, Alan, that I asked you about how reaping is going or how your sowing has been today? In our farming community, those aren't words that we necessarily use a lot. It's words that we use in the Bible, and it means the same thing, but it means planting seeds and getting a harvest from that, right? We would say planting and combining probably, but in the Bible there were no combines, so we would call it harvesting or reaping, bringing in the sheaves, right? But before we go there, let me talk about something else. Let's talk about the law of gravity. How many of you guys know about gravity? How many have ever heard of gravity? Okay, a few of you have heard of gravity, all right? So gravity, what does gravity do? It pulls you down. We reject gravity. You're not bringing me down again, right? Gravity, they know how to study it. They know how to predict it. They know how scientists know how to measure it. They know how to work it into equations. But if scientists are going to be honest, they'll tell you, and we've read this number of times, that they don't know what gravity is. But they know that there's a law of gravity. There's a law of gravity. And so in that law, it's irrefutable. Like, it works the same way every single time. And there might be places on Earth where there's less gravity or more gravity. It doesn't mean gravity is the same, but it works the same. So it works the same every single time. So if I take this and I hold it up here and I decide that I'm going to let go, what if we took predictions on what's going to happen here? How many think it's going to go up? How many think it's going to stay the same? A couple of you were thinking about that one. How many think it will go sideways if I just simply let go? How many think it will go down? Yes, most of you believe that it will go down. But what if we did this? What if I was just, when I'm about to let go, what if I beg and plead with it? Please don't fall. Just stay there. You can do it. What if I give it encouragement? Will that change the outcome of the law of gravity? No. What if I get really angry at it? What if I do that? Change the law of gravity or not? No. What if I bring some other friends in and we kind of stare menacingly at this and we say, boy, if you fall, there's going to be retribution. Do you think that will change the law of gravity in this situation? No. What if my deepest heart's desire is for this to stay? What if I pray about it? God, please help this to stay right where it's at. Barring some amazing supernatural miracle of God, no, it's going to, should we find out? All right, 1, 2, 3. It did. It fell. It dropped. Why? Because the law of gravity is an irrefutable law. It just works that way. It's not based on how you feel. It's not based on how you think. It's just, it's a law that works how it works. All right? Does the Bible think that the law of gravity works how it works? Well, let's talk about it. We're going to read out of Judges chapter 9. Abimelech went to the tower and attacked it. But as he approached the entrance to the tower to set it on fire, a woman dropped an upper millstone on his head and cracked his skull. Encouraging verse for you guys today. So a woman took a millstone, leaned over the tower, and let it go. What happened to the millstone? It fell. It happened to land on his head, right? That's a story in the Bible that is not recounting a miracle. It's just giving you a story. The Bible fully expects the law of gravity to work. Like, you'll never find the law of gravity, in quotes, in the Bible. Like, it never talks about the law of gravity. But the Bible fully expects that you understand gravity. I understand gravity. We might not know what it is, but we know how things in the real world work. You drop a millstone off a tower, you conk your noggin, right? It's a bad deal. Okay? Do we understand that? Let's look at a different verse. We're going to look at a verse here, and we're going to see a miracle. And I don't want you to say anything. Okay? Don't say anything, but I want to see if we can find the miracle in this verse. Okay? We're still talking about the law of gravity here. 2 Kings 6, as one of them was cutting down a tree, the iron axe head fell into the water. Oh no, my lord, he cried out. It was borrowed. The man of God asked, where did it fall? When he showed them the place, Elisha cut a stick and threw it in there. And of course, this is a story about Elisha, a prophet of God. And he made the iron float. Lift it out, he said. Then the man reached out his hand and took it. Let's see if we can find the miracle in this story. Here we go. Okay, one of them was cutting down a tree. Is that miraculous? Well, no. It is if my wife's trying to get me off the couch to do it. Yes. Okay, but not in this story. The iron axe had fell into the water. Is that miraculous? Nope, it's just part of life. Oh no, Lord, he cried out. It was borrowed. Is that a miracle? Well, if he's not good at returning things, that might be a miracle that someone would borrow him the axe head. And had the story not turned out how it did, it might be a miracle for the next time. But no, not in this sense. So we can go all the way through this. And Elisha cut a stick. Was that a miracle? No. We find out that when he threw the stick into the water, it floated. That's the miracle. Because a miracle often will suspend the natural laws. Okay? When you see Jesus walking on water, why do we call that a miracle? Because the law of gravity normally should pull him down. And unless he's operating on Archimedes' principle, which he was not, he's just walking on water. And so that was his faith was causing him to walk on water, which he shouldn't have been able to. So we can see these kind of miracles that temporarily suspend natural laws and supernatural laws. So we're going to talk about the law of sowing and reaping for a little bit today. Sowing and reaping. How many of you have ever heard of sowing and reaping in like a Bible context? Okay. When I started digging into this, we found out that, man, this thing is everywhere. I love preaching on sowing and reaping. Haven't done it for a long time, but when I was just researching, boy, you find it all throughout the Word of God. And it's a principle. And so not only is it a principle, but it's a law. Now remember the law of gravity. What if I don't want, Pastor always used to say, we go sowing our wild oats and then pray for a crop failure, right? That was kind of his funny line. But the law of sowing and reaping, what about the law of gravity? What if I really don't want it to work like that? Remember, it still fell. It works like it works because it's a spiritual law. It works like it works. It just does what it does. You don't have to think about it. You don't have to pray about it. You don't have to be concerned about it. The law of sowing and reaping, just like the law of gravity, just works because it works. How many of you, when you're walking through the pasture, right, out to check cattle, are wondering if you're still going to be on the ground by the time you get over there? You're like, I wonder if I'm going to float away. Well, I wonder if I go pour coffee. I wonder if it's going to float up or down. We don't even think about it. It's a law and it just works. It works that way every time. The same way with sowing and reaping. So, question. What is sowing and reaping and how does it affect my life? We're gonna get to some verses here shortly, but let's just talk about this for a second. Outside of Christian circles, and unfortunately, even sometimes in Christian circles, we get this confused with, maybe you've ever heard these words before. You've ever heard of karma, or what goes around comes around, or cause and effect, or there might be other terminologies that you get what's coming, you get what's coming to you, I think is how you say that, right? And these are all really diminished versions or secular versions of a principle. And we see this often. There will be a law of God, a principle of God, and the world will kind of take it and they'll take a piece of it. And it's what we call common grace. There's this God works the same way. The rain falls on the righteous and the unrighteous, right? And so we'll see something like that. And even without Jesus, even without knowing his word, we can see that it works this way in real life. And so karma is actually that principle plus an attempt to, you know, to get a better life and have it all roll throughout reincarnations and all that kind of goofy stuff. That's not what we're talking about. We're talking about the law of sowing and reaping as revealed to us in the Bible. So it affects my life because, well, let's find out what is the seed then. So what is the seed that we're sowing? Oh, maybe before that, who's sowing? You guys are sowing. I'm sowing. Well, when are we sowing? We're sowing all of the time. All of the time. And that's a scary thing. You're continually planting. So my challenge is, remember that first slide that had all those things listed? What we don't realize is when we're in the middle of reacting or making a decision without thinking about it or in a habit or in a routine or stuck in sin, I'm planting. When I'm in the middle of that kind of thoughtless, you know, just routine of life or an overblown reaction or whatever, I'm planting, constantly planting. So my question is, are you planting good seeds or are you planting bad seeds? Well, you haven't told us what the seeds are yet. We'll get there. But you're planting all the time and you're planting that is going to grow into a harvest, and your harvest might be good or it might be bad. You see, anyone ever gardened before? Anyone ever dug up soil, right? What comes up automatically? Worms, great answer. And weeds, yep. Because those seeds are already in there. They've already been planted, right? So we can have a harvest of weeds, and that's not what we want. We can have a harvest of poison ivy, right? And if we're planting bad things, poisonous things, destructive things, we're going to get that kind of a harvest. So what is our seeds? Man, it's all of this and more. It's our thoughts, it's our actions, it's our attitudes, it's our words, it's our reactions, it's our choices. And I think a lot of us, we think about what really matters in life as like the big decisions. Yeah, I went out, you know, for the food giveaway and I helped for 2 hours at the food giveaway. God really smiles on me. Well, God does smile on you. He loves when you do that kind of stuff. But then what about all of the seeds that you were planting when you grumbled to your wife before that, and when you snapped at your kids before that, and when you stole some from the office pension fund before that? You know what I mean? We're always planting. Debbie, so didn't mean to pick on you. I'm just kidding. We're always planting. And here's the deal. It's a law. We can't stop in the middle of it and go, oh, wait, I didn't mean to plant that. We're always planting. And guess what? There's a harvest coming. And that's a scary thing because I don't want a harvest for a lot of this kind of stuff. And so as we're just in our routines, as we're in our habits, as we're in our reactions, as we're just going through what we normally would do in life, well, we feel like it's isolated. We feel like, well, I'm not out hurting anyone. I'm not doing anything bad. So I'm good, right? And yet often we find people that still keep getting these harvests. They don't know that they're harvests because of bad thought patterns, because of bad words. Anyone ever just get caught up? You're in the middle of a paragraph and you realize it's just negative. This is nasty. Like you didn't even really mean to that. You just, someone said something about someone or something, you know, whatever going on. And you didn't even realize that your words were getting ickier and ickier. And in the middle, you're just like, whoa, gosh, what am I saying? And you kind of, the Holy Spirit's kind of putting his finger on that. Well, you're sowing. You're sowing those words. And they produce a harvest. They're not isolated. So we're going to go to our verse for this, kind of our key verse for the day. Galatians 6:7. One verse. Do not be deceived. What does it mean to be deceived? What does deceived mean? Tricked. Yep. Lied to, you know, believing something that's not real or true. Don't be tricked. Guys, listen, Paul is just saying, come on, don't get tricked. Don't let your mind play tricks on you. Don't let someone tell you something that's not true. Don't let the devil feed you a story that you're going to get sucked into and believe. Don't get deceived. Guys, listen, stop. Don't get tricked. Don't get deceived. God can't be mocked. and a man reaps what he sows. So this is the verse. Don't get tricked. God can't be mocked. You're going to reap what you sow. And it's an irrefutable law that we see in the Word of God. All right, let's work backwards. So a man reaps what he sows. This is a spiritual principle that God put in place really in the Garden of Eden. And so we're going to see that verse there in Genesis 1, 11 and 12 says this. Then God said, let the earth sprout vegetation, plants yielding seed, and fruit trees on the earth bearing fruit after their kind with seed in them. And it was so. The earth brought forth vegetation, plants yielding seed after their kind, and trees bearing fruit with seed in them after their kind. And God saw that it was good. Say, after their kind. Beautiful. We don't think it's silly that when I plant carrot seeds, I get carrots. We don't think at all that it's silly if an apple falls to the ground and lands in just the right place that another apple tree will come up. We don't think it's silly that when I plant corn stalks come up. But this is an ordered world. God created it like that. It's not silly to us because we've seen it over and over again, but it doesn't have to be that way. I mean, it does in our world, but God wouldn't have had to made it like that. You could have planted something and it could be just random. Something comes up, right? You could have planted a seed of corn and a cow could have came up. How would that be? Cow field full of cows because you planted corn. Oh, I thought this time was going to be sheep, right? But it's not. They produce after their kind. And this is a law that God set up from how the earth was founded, right? And it's a spiritual law as well, because we see that in Galatians 6. Galatians 6, I promise you, Paul is not talking about wheat and corn, right? So this, along with a dozen other places and dozens of other places, God takes this natural principle of sowing and reaping that we understand that we plant wheat seed, we get wheat up. We plant grass seed, we get grass coming up. We plant weed seed, we get weeds coming up. We plant poison ivy, we get poison ivy plants, right? Whatever we plant is the harvest that we get. Do not be deceived. God's not mocked. A man reaps what he sows. What I sow, oofta, is what I'm going to reap. The seed that I sow, the kind of seed, good seed or bad seed, helpful seed or harmful seed, blessing seed or cursing seed, whatever kind of seed I plant, like we used to like to use these verses for like blessings. Yeah, I'm sowing good seed, I'm going to get a blessing out of it. It also works in reverse. You sow seeds of nasty reactions, of bad, evil thoughts, of wounding words, of being a bad friend, of making poor choices, guess what we're going to get back in our life? We're going to get that returned to us. Not because God's angry at you. Not because you didn't do something right. You planted seed, and it was bad seed. And so you're going to get that bad harvest returned to you. So this whole idea of, what if we could look forward and see what things are going to look like? What kind of seeds are we planting today? So a man reaps what he sows, and then backwards, one more line, God can't be mocked. And you might say, well, Pastor, I think they mocked Jesus, and I hear people at work mocking God all the time. This verse isn't saying that mocking cannot happen. We have free will, right? We can do that. What he's saying is God, the result of what we're saying, God can't be mocked. You ever, I couldn't think of a good example, but, I suppose Noah and the ark would be a good example, you know, people mocking him for building the ark, and then the floods come, and guess who's safe and who's not, right? You ever see someone walk in, and they've got a goofy idea or a goofy way of doing things, and I've been on the wrong end of this more than once, and you're going to make fun of somebody, and you're like, oh, well, that's never going to work, and then all of a sudden it does work, and it works better than what you were doing, or it works better than the, right? And so we're kind of mocking, and then they show you, no, proof is in the pudding. And that's kind of what this verse is saying. You can mock God if you want, but he can't be mocked. Like, he can't prove to be mocked. He's always going to come out right. God's not ever going to be wrong. So you can try to mock God with your life and say, I can do what I want, and I'm going to make my own destiny or whatever. And the mocking part is saying, Yeah, it's not going to work like that. Here's an irrefutable law of sowing and reaping. So what the kind of seed that you sow, that's what you're going to get back out of your life. This works all the time, every time. And then let's get back to the beginning. Don't be deceived. Don't be deceived. And I thought of, and I'm sure there's many ways that we can be deceived about this, but I thought of two really common ones that probably all of us have experienced at one time or another. So two lies that we believe. So we believe, depending on kind of where you're at with God and what verses you've really been spending time with and kind of where you're at in your Bible reading and how you're feeling about God and life, this first one could be true of you. Sometimes we believe that my bad choices don't matter because God's grace covers them. We just kind of have this, I'm going to kind of live how I want and do what I want, and God loves me so much, he's just going to take care of all the bad stuff. You know, like, well, hey, brother, nobody's perfect, right? And so what I'm saying is, in that situation, the seed that you sow is the harvest that you're going to get. Does God's grace is phenomenal. Do we need God's grace every second of our life? Does God's grace cover things? Absolutely. But what God's grace does in this situation, see, God doesn't upend one law to bring another character trait in. They all work in harmony. What God's grace is for is so you don't do the dumb stuff to begin with. That's what the grace is for, to change our seed so that we're sowing good seed. And so if you've got this mentality of, you know what, God's just going to take care of it all, and I'm trying my best, but whatever. The deal is, if we're sowing bad seed, we're going to get a bad harvest. If we're sowing negativity, if we're sowing, you know, just cynicism, if we're sowing a lack of faith, a lack of compassion, if we're sowing those kind of seeds, that's the kind of harvest we're going to get in our life. Here's the other one. My good choices don't matter because they're small and they don't really do any good. That's the other lie we believe, is that, well, this thing is so minuscule. Yeah, I could write someone a nice card or whatever. Or I could say kind words, but you know what? They're still going to be a jerk. Right? We're thinking that I don't really have that much effect. The seeds that I'm sowing, they don't really matter that much anyways. You know, my life is just going to be my life or whatever. Here's what I want to challenge you with this morning. Those seeds matter. Every seed that we're sowing matters. Every good seed matters because it's going to produce a good harvest in our life. So if we can look at that and just kind of bring that all into focus, we can't just keep living on autopilot. We can't just keep living by routine. We can't just keep living by habit. We can't just keep living by reaction, heaven forbid. We can't just keep doing the same thing that we've always done. Maybe it's okay, but what if we could step out of the chaos for a second and start ordering our life? Now, if you believe for a second that you're going to be able to predict exactly what's going to happen and that there's nothing bad's ever going to come your way, that's silly. That's not what we're saying at all. But can we do something intentional to see a better harvest in another week, in another month, in another year? Absolutely. I've been kind of stirring this, like, we've prepared at different times and some lately in our church, planted seeds right now, started changing the way we do things, started changing the way we say things, because we know that God wants to do something in our future. And so we'll start planting like seed and we'll start getting ready for the harvest that's coming later. We believe that this law works. We just believe that this is God's word and that it actually does what God says it does. How's that for a change? We just believe that the Bible's true. We just believe that God's laws are actually God's laws and that they work how God says they're going to work. We believe that if we just continue just being haphazard about our lives, then we have no input about what kind of harvest we get. Maybe we sowed some good seeds, but maybe it came from the bad pocket. I don't know. Where if we're more intentional about what kind of seed we're sowing, what kind of thoughts we're thinking, what kind of words we're speaking, what kind of attitudes. How many of you have ever caught yourself in a bad attitude? That's sowing seeds. So it's not just more like kicking the rear end. Hey, don't be doing that. You know, you should be thankful. You know, like, that's true. But not just for that moment. Guys, we got to stop thinking about just this moment. Think about a week from now. Think about a month from now. Think about a year from now. Well, do you think that's really prudent? Should we do that? I think that's the very definition of the word prudent. And it's what the Bible tells us about we're sowing seed for eternity. So not just in this lifetime, but in eternity. We're sowing seed now for eternity. We're sowing seed in this life for the next life. We're sowing seed here for what God does later. So every tiny thought, every tiny word, every little action, every little attitude, every little decision is creating our future. It's creating the harvest that we can expect to receive. Two more verses and we're done. This is what the Lord Almighty says in Haggai chapter 1. Give careful thought to your ways. Oh, men and women, children, let's just make it a goal of our heart to be careful how we're walking, to be careful how we're speaking, to be careful with this new information in our life. Like, oh, wait a minute. I'm setting up what next week is going to look like. Not just because it's a one-to-one ratio. It's because I'm sowing the seeds. See, if you guys weren't here, let's say I went in the back room and I just told you guys that I was going to drop that thing, right? But I went in the back room. You guys couldn't see it. What would happen when I let go? It still would fall. The law works whether anyone sees it or not. Well, I do some of these good things, but no one really sees that. Guys, it's a law. It works because it works. Well, I'm doing these bad things, and well, nobody saw that. It works because it works. It's a law. It's irrefutable. It's the law of seed time and harvest. One last verse. Proverbs 4, keep your mouth free from perversity. Watch how you talk. Keep corrupt talk far from your lips. Let your eyes look straight ahead. Fix your gaze directly before you. Give careful thought to the paths for your feet. Be steadfast in all your ways. Do not turn to the right or to the left. Keep your foot from evil. Solomon writing to his children, the wisest man in the world, saying, hey guys, think about what you're doing. Stop. Slow down. Give thought. Give some carefulness to your ways. Give some carefulness to your thoughts. Like, examine what we're doing. And that's not like tons of pressure and guilt. Not in that sense. Like, just being aware. Like, whoa, I can choose to sow something bad and get a bad harvest. I can choose to sow something good and get a good harvest. So sometimes we're like, well, I need to watch what I say because, you know, because God's watching. And we kind of have this weird, but instead, what about thinking about it like, man, I need to watch my words because every word I say, that's sowing something for tomorrow and for the next week and for the next month and for the next year. I need to watch my attitude, not just so I can be a good example. That's part of it. Not just so God will approve. That's part of it. But so that I'm sowing good seeds, so that I'm sowing, you know, I need to be a good friend. I need to be whatever, fill in the blank. Good decisions, good choices, because that's creating something for tomorrow. It's creating something for next week. It's creating for something for next year. So as we finish today, what area of your life, don't raise your hand, don't say anything, but as we close, what area of your life do you feel that you are the most careless in? Maybe you are perfectly careful in all of your ways. Great. I applaud you. If you're not, like, what area do you find it harder to be careful about what you say? Do you find it harder to be careful about your reactions? Some of us are very reactive. Do you find it harder to be careful about maybe impulsive decisions? You know, maybe you didn't think through a decision before you made a big decision. Do you find it difficult maybe about, you know, your thought life? Are you getting consumed with evil thoughts or negative thoughts, and you find that you get lost in that without even realizing it. What area of your life are you not so careful about? And I would just challenge you, just as we pray here just in a second, just to kind of offer that up to God and say, God, I want to be more careful. Like, if this really is true, and trust me, it is, I want to be careful about what I'm thinking, about what I'm saying, about my attitudes, about my heart, about all of these seeds that I'm sowing, about how I treat my friends, about how I treat my spouse and my kids and my neighbor and my cat, right? I want to be careful because I'm sowing seeds that are going to return as a harvest. So let's just close our eyes. I want to just pray as we finish. Lord, I bless this people today, God. Thank you, Jesus, for opening up truths from your word, God, that we are creating our futures right now. Lord, we know that you go before us, but we also know that, Lord, we're leaning into these laws that you've created. And as we sow, Lord, you've promised that we're going to get a harvest from that, and to not be deceived by that, that it's going to really happen. Help us to find the areas that we tend to be careless in and put a guard around them, God. Help us to be aware of this type of seeds that we're sowing. And I just pray that you would help us to sow good seed In Jesus' name, we pray. Everybody said, amen. Be blessed. Sow some good seed this week. Good seed. Amen.